So let us be encouraged by the Word of God, my friends. And tonight's message, really preaching to myself here, but prayer needs meekness. That's the title, Prayer Needs Meekness. My prayer needs meekness. And a question for us, for myself, you know, how willing am I, how willing are you not to do things our way? I have in my mind how I like things to play out. How willing are we not to do things our way? Do I buck it? Does it rub me the wrong way? Does it frustrate me? Does it upset me? Does it discourage me? Or, well, am I okay with it? You know, it's not my will, not my way, but that's okay. My willingness to not have my way, but instead yield my will to someone else's, whether it's God in prayer. Of course, that's the emphasis for tonight. But even a spouse, co-worker, best friend, child, doesn't matter. Yielding your will to someone else's is a measurement of our meekness. Now, meekness, of course, we've said this before, meekness is not weakness, but is the voluntary submission of our will, in this context tonight for prayer, to God's will. And so how meek am I? How meek are you? Should Christians be meek? Of course, absolutely, we know that. And do I realize, but do I realize, the absolute necessity of having meekness for godly prayers? Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is our perfect example. And so maybe some truths that we can glean from even his prayer to the Father in the garden. And so let's go to Luke chapter 22. This will be our main verse for tonight. Luke chapter 22, a tremendous example, a real-life example. This is not just in theory. This is in practice. Actually happened. The Lord Jesus Christ praying in meekness. And so Luke 22, perhaps you can guess, I'm going to verse 42, and the Lord Jesus Christ here, he says, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Amen. Let us pray. Abba, Father, what a joy, Lord, to fall into the hands of a merciful God. Lord, that we don't have to fear to fall into the hands of an angry God. And Father, we love you. Father, we thank you so much that you are our Abba Father, that you deal with us as children. Lord, and when I sin, when I fall away to temptation, you chastise me. And it's not pleasant, but Father, help me to yield to that it produces the peaceable fruit of righteousness, Lord, to be exercised thereby. And so, Father, you do it for our benefit. Never to harm us and to hurt us, but always to help us. Father, thank you for your precious will. Help me to be meek in my prayer, Lord, not always to just beg for you to grant my will, but that my desire truly would be for your will to supersede mine. Thank you for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that you would give us meekness as we pray, to prefer your will, to love your will, to trust your will. And Father, we love you. We thank you so much for your goodness to us and give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Certainly, there are many things in life that, I can say, hey, I wish this played out differently. I wish this happened differently. The Lord Jesus Christ, of course, is our example of meekness. He exemplified meekness in his character, in his teachings. If you remember when Jesus invited us to come unto him, for rest, that's in Matthew 11, 24, the Lord Jesus describes himself as, I am meek and lowly in heart. When Jesus sent his disciples to get him a donkey to ride on, Scripture tells us, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughters of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee meek and sitting upon an ass. That's in Matthew 21, verse 4 and 5. Jesus preached on the Sermon on the Mount. We know this. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And so may we not forget this, Christians. God desires us to be meek. And it's not just for us to be meek like, oh, well, it's a consolation. No, he says, blessed, happy, rejoicing that we can be meek. I don't have to be proud. I don't have to hold on to my stubborn will. I can just let go and let God. Amen. Jesus teached how to pray when in Luke chapter 11, when the disciples asked him how to pray. He said, when ye pray, say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is in heaven, so in earth. This is meekness 360. I mean, meekness all around. This, the entire prayer of the Lord's Prayer evolves around meekness. Not my will, but God's will be done. When the Lord Jesus prayed, his greatest desire was for the Father's will to be done. In fact, he said to his disciples in John 4, verse 34, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Remember when he came with food? And then they're like, wait, who fed him? Did you sneak a hint? Now, of course, he's talking about spiritual meat, right? But the idea is meat, as the Lord was using it in a spiritual context, is what kept Jesus going. Is what sustained him. It was his cause. It was his purpose. Quite, I might add, contrary to mine, when I was at work, my meat was to get to lunchtime. That was my focus. Like, hey, if I can just gonna avoid some bombs, some landmines from 8 to noon or whatever, I can have a time out for lunchtime. That would be great. And then my meat after lunchtime was to get home and have dinner. So that was my meat. You know, always after the carnal. Got to be careful that don't want my God to be my belly. But the idea is the flesh that was leading. Jesus, of course, from a spiritual sense, his meat is to do the will of the Father. That is a tremendous spiritual meat, spiritual purpose. Let's go to verse 41. Back up one verse. And verse 41 says, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed. Of course, we know he prays in verse 42. The idea here is Jesus was all alone. And how do I pray when I'm all alone? You know, when there's no church people to hear me pray and discern what I'm saying, when I'm truly praying from my heart all alone, no one knows if I'm saying anything fancy, no one can hear me say something that sounds humble, I'm not putting on a show, not to say that, again, always maybe pray sincerely, okay, but I get it, but even with family, I want to set a good example, so I better pray this way, okay, when I'm all alone, just as Jesus is here all alone, when I can't, you know, be of any influence to anyone else but God, how do I pray? How do you pray? Am I truly meek in my prayers? Lord willing. Now that said, being meek doesn't mean we don't have our own wants or desires, right? Notice what the Lord says in verse 42. Father, talking to his Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Then Jesus, this is a very beautiful picture here that it shows the difference between Christ's human will and his Father's divine will. Jesus really, 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 really didn't want to be crucified. I mean, that's legit. I want to glorify God with my life. But if you would ask me, so do you want to have a painful death with colon cancer? I would say, oh, I'd rather not. You know, just being honest. I mean, it hurts, okay? I mean, I don't even want to stub my toe, okay? Let alone get cancer, okay? I'm a wimp when it comes to pain. And again, this is a prayer in private. I'm not trying to just put on a show. I'm going to impress my kids. And I, Lord, hit me what you got out. You know, it's what I am when I'm truly alone. You know, when I say, oh, Lord, I wish my dad was alive, right? I wish this would play out this way. I wish this would happen this way. I mean, there's things that we want. And being meek doesn't mean that we don't have our own desires. The Lord Jesus Christ, he had his own human desires. Okay, nothing wrong that, unless it's sin. Okay, if it's sin, it's sin. Okay, I'm talking about within the realm of Christian liberty. Okay, within the realm of how we can serve God and our desires to live for him. Jesus really, really, really didn't want to be crucified. He did not want to become sin for us. That's legit. He didn't want to be separate from his Father. Yeah, he didn't want to go through the physical, emotional, and spiritual agony of the cross. Hey, that makes sense. We can relate to that. Now, this verse shows us that that's Christ's human will. Yes, it differs from his Father's divine will. But of course, ultimately, he submitted to his Father's will. In fact, not just submitted to it, he preferred it. Being meek doesn't mean that we don't have our own will, that we don't have our own opinions, we don't have our own preferences. The Lord Jesus Christ did. He says it very clearly here. If it's possible, remove this cup. That's his baptism. Okay, that's his the wrath of God that he would have to drink for all mankind. He didn't want to go to the cross for us from that standpoint. It's okay for me to desire to do things my way, again, as long as it's not sin, to exercise my wants and preferences within my Christian liberty. Praise God. But at the end of the day, we must always ultimately yield our will to God. Why? Well, because being meek doesn't mean I just tolerate God's will, but it actually means I favor it. being meek doesn't mean I just put up with what God wants and I kind of grin and bear it, or I kind of just cringe and walk through it, but it actually means I prefer it. Being meek is not just agree to disagree. Being meek actually means that even though I might have initially have a deferring will, preference, or opinion from God, that, hey, at the end of the day, nevertheless, I submit and I come around and I actually agree and prefer with God's way, not my way. The Lord Jesus Christ, if you notice what he says here, nevertheless, not my will but thine be done, he actually favors God's will. He's voicing his own will. Hey, just being honest, he's voicing his own will, but ultimately he prefers whose will? The Father's. That's his desire. He has his own, but ultimately he wants God's will to be done. That word, nevertheless, is a very powerful word. And so I kind of tried to read up a bit into that. And the best way to kind of get a synonym for that would be all the same. Same difference, meaning no difference. And the idea is, for example, God uses this word in scriptures. In 2 Timothy 1:12, Paul is writing to Timothy, and Paul says this, "For which cause I also suffer these things," of course, heavy persecution. Then Paul says, "Nevertheless, I am not ashamed." And so what Paul is saying is this, Paul was not ashamed of the gospel, regardless whether he suffered or not. No difference. He's not ashamed. "Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed." So the idea is, whether Paul was persecuted or not persecuted, he's not ashamed of the gospel. Whether he was attacked or not attacked, you can't stop him. He's going anyway. And so the idea, nevertheless, meaning it's there but not there. Makes no difference. And so the Lord Jesus had his own will, but he preferred to do the Father's will all the same. Regardless of what his personal will is, makes no difference. Now, this was kind of mind-blowing for myself, because the challenge to myself is, when I go along with someone else's way, I have my way of doing it. Someone says, "Hey, let's do it this way." I'm like, how much do I get on board with that? Do I do it half-heartedly? Maybe half-hearted is too generous. Maybe I'm just 10%. Half is not 50%. Maybe I'm only 10% into it. Do I drag my feet? Do I underperform? Perhaps, maybe, God forbid, maybe I'm a little sinister. I try to jinx it or sabotage it so that way it won't work. Now, that is not meekness. Meekness is the voluntary yielding, giving up, surrender of my will. All the same, nevertheless. In other words, doesn't matter to me, Lord. Your will be done. But from my own heart, in my own fleshly will, I would love for this cup to pass from me. Again, the cup for Jesus was to go to the cross. God has a different cup for all of us from that standpoint, right? But whatever that suffering that God has, Lord, this would be sure nice if I don't have to get this, just from my standpoint. But ultimately, Lord, I desire deep down in the man for your will to be done. What a thought. Hebrews 12. Let's go there. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, Jesus Christ, again, our exalted example. Look at how the scripture describes him going to the cross. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, our example for us. Hebrews 12, verse 2, looking onto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Now, Jesus, just to clarify, did not enjoy being crucified, but he did enjoy doing the will of the Father. He enjoyed pleasing the Father, and that trumped the hardships of the cross. I mean, this is huge. Things might be unpleasant in our life. Suffering, yes, no one likes suffering, no one likes pain. But may our joy in pleasing our Heavenly Father be a greater desire than my avoidance of pain, right? For the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. God the Father exalted Jesus to the right hand of the throne of God. Just like that, Christians, you and I will be glorified by the Lord and glorified with the Lord. We can joy in God's will, because he desires to bless us. God will always give us strength to do his will when we submit in meekness. In fact, let's go back to Luke 22. And we know the following verse, but let's read that in verse 43. So Luke 22, God will always give us strength to do His will when we first submit in meekness, not grudgingly, cheerfully. Amen. Luke chapter 22, verse 43, and there appeared. Now, this is after he prayed, verse 42, after he submitted in meekness. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. A supernatural strength that God will sustain us through to fulfill His will. So, the idea, question to myself, how can I be meek? Well, if you remember, meekness, of course, is part of the fruit of the Spirit. You don't have to turn there. We've read it before. But God produces meekness in us, along with the other fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, temperance, all these, when we are walking in the Spirit. Amen. When we obey God's word. In fact, going hand in hand with this, Jesus invites us to do so. Let's turn to Matthew 11. Matthew 11. Matthew 11. I want to be meek. Being meek will change my prayer life, but it will change my Christian life. It will change my marriage, my home life, my work life, everything. Being meek, and what a testimony. My will can take a back seat, right? And so Matthew 11, verse 28, Jesus gives a wonderful invitation. Of course, this is a spiritual salvation application, but it doesn't stop with salvation. It starts with salvation. Verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. That's me. That's where I end up with my will. And I will give you rest. This is the Lord's will. This is my will. What am I going to do? Am I going to rough it out in the labor fields, or do I go to the Lord for rest? He invites us to come to Him. Verse 29: Take my yoke upon you. Of course, the idea here of the paired oxen. You have the older teaching the younger. We are the younger. He is the stronger. Take my yoke upon you. We get saved, and then once we get saved, it doesn't stop. It starts and learn of me. So while we are walking with Jesus, now that we are saved, now that we are with Him, we have rest because Jesus does the heavy lifting. I just ride His coattails. While I'm walking alongside Him, don't just time out. Don't just be idle. Don't just have a wandering eye. Don't just go immerse myself with worldly affairs. Learn of Jesus. I can't learn of Him if I'm not with Him. But now that I'm with Him, that I'm saved, that He's my Lord, I walk with Him, learn of Him. What about Him do I need to learn? For I am meek and lowly in heart. The Lord wants, he is meek and lowly, humble. He wants me to get it. He wants me to be like Him. You can almost say the pinnacle of a prayer of meekness is our main verse. Where Jesus, I mean, he really didn't want to be crucified. He really didn't want to suffer the agony, become sin, be separated from the Father. Yet He prayed, not my will, but thine be done. The pinnacle of a meek prayer. Jesus says, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And when we do that, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Come to Jesus, learn of Him. Pray. How about this? Pray for meekness. This is a good one. Let's go to James 1:5, and then we're going to go to James 3:17. But let's go to James 1:5 first, because this is another promise from the Word of God. James 1:5, and we've read this before. But what a wonderful, it never goes old. God's word is timeless and eternal. James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, now it starts with humility. Me, I lack wisdom. Me, I don't get it. God, why are you making me go through this? Why am I in pain? Why am I suffering? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And it shall be given him. I mean, he's going to give me what I want and then some. Now, this wisdom that God gives us, how is it described? James 3:17, let's turn there. James 3, and then verse 17, the wisdom that God gives us, but the wisdom that is from above, which we, Lord willing, ask and desire that God would give, is first pure, nothing of the world, completely spiritual. Do we crave and desire this wisdom from God? Then, peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated. That means the idea of this wisdom is, if I have this wisdom from God, God doesn't have to twist my arm to make me do something. God doesn't have to go out of His way to really try to convince me. Think of Jonah, okay? He doesn't have to pull a Jonah on us. He'll say, go to Nineveh, and say, yes, sir, good idea, let's go. All right. Even though I don't care for those Ninevites, but God, you said it. All right, that trumps my preference. And so it's gentle, it's easy to be entreated, it's peaceable, full of mercy and good fruits without partiality, completely sold up for God, and without hypocrisy. It goes back to how I pray when I'm all by myself. This is the wisdom that exudes the meekness that ought to permeate the prayer of every Christian. What a blessing. Learn of Jesus, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is our Savior, but He's also, of course, our example. And then if I want to be more meek, just pray for it. Lord, give me this wisdom. Lord, this wisdom from above, this way of thinking from above, this knowledge that I can't get on my own. I want to be meek like my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that your will be done. And we know that's God's will. God wants us to do this. And so be meek to begin with, to ask to be meek. What a blessing. How okay am I, or not okay? Going back to the first question, how willing am I not to do things my way? My way or the highway? That's, maybe God's way. Praise God. He knows better than me anyway. To God be the glory. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Abba, Father, I thank you so much that you are in absolute control, but that you are also a gracious God, and you know better than me. And Father, help me to truly be meek in my prayers, in my Christian life, in my marriage, in my home, that it doesn't have to be my way. Lord, it's in the flesh talking, and help me to just be willing to yield my will and to prefer, not just grudgingly settle for your will, but to prefer, honestly prefer your will be done. Lord, to be just moldable, and that truly the Lord Jesus Christ will reign on the throne of our hearts. And so, Father, we love you. We thank you so much for your precious word. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, help us to share our burdens with you. We don't want to shy away, and it's not wrong that we have our own desires. But nevertheless, all the same, your will be done. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord again.